Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Celebrate Recovery podcast. My name is Johnny, and I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism. With me again, as always, is Bob Wood. Bob, would you say hello?
Hey, Johnny. It's good to actually see you face-to-face today as we record this podcast. I'm a believer that struggles with drug addiction and sexual addiction.
Yeah, that's right. We are here in Portland, Oregon, recording right after we finished the Advanced Leadership Training Seminar. And in another room, the Seven Keys of Celebrate Recovery was going on. It was all in all a really good day.
I thought it was great. And Portland is a beautiful city. I've thoroughly enjoyed being here and seeing the leaves turn. And it's kind of refreshing getting out of the desert into some plant life.
Yeah, and I hear from the locals we got the one sunny day out of the week. So
that's right.
That's pretty good.
I think they scheduled it just for us, actually.
That's nice of them. Well, Bob, we just finished 8 hours worth of training and good stuff, great crowd. I'm exhausted. How about you?
I feel kind of tired. I'm starting to feel the fatigue of being up front all day, but it was a great time, and I just look forward to kind of sharing some insights that I think we got from actually the questions that came in and the training that we went forward with. So.
Yeah. What I think we should talk about today is open share groups, and this isn't going to be by any means sort of an exhaustive, comprehensive look at open share groups, but I thought we'd just kind of talk about the need to have them. How to keep them going, and just how important they are to the lifeblood of a ministry.
Well, I think, as you know, we've talked some. You've really been a champion of open share groups. We talk a lot about the step studies being the heart of Celebrate Recovery, and I think sometimes, as you pointed that out, we miss how important open share groups are. It's not just step studies. We need open share groups as well.
Yeah, I think what's important to keep in mind is when Celebrate Recovery, that is, was started 16 years ago, there were no step studies.
Right.
You know, it was all open share groups. So there's a sense in which it's like, you know, I am a believer in step studies. I just finished one not that long ago. I'm going to start another one here soon. But open share groups are so important to what we do at Celebrate Recovery. And I just thought we should just spend a little bit of time talking about sort of the things that make it healthy and a vital part of the ministry. The first thing I think that an open share group gives is sort of the open part of it, is an open seat to a newcomer. You know, last week we talked about the need to keep our large group meeting, or general meeting night really, that is, focused on the newcomer. And I think having a place to sit for a newcomer is really important. Give me a little bit of your thoughts on that.
Well, and I think it's important too, in that a newcomer can come and just show up, and there's not like this, you know, ongoing curriculum study, or they're not jumping into the middle of something where they feel like, you know what, this has been going for years, and you know, I really don't understand what's going on, and I feel like I'm in the middle of it, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and check out. It's open,
right?
And they can just show up and participate exactly where they are that night and begin to share their struggle if they feel comfortable being able to do that.
Right. I think that's super important. If I, you know, we're not always fortunate enough to have all our newcomers come on January 1st when we start talking about denial. You know, so they're going to come in maybe when we're talking about step 4 or later, 10 or 11 or 12, and they're going to feel a little lost in that. We try to make sure every week we say, doesn't matter where you are in this, if you're starting out, you're on step 1, principle 1, start there. However, it's nice for an open share group to be running because it doesn't matter what step you're on in there. You're just going to have 3 to 5 minutes to hear from other people as they share each individually, and you're going to have 3 or 5 minutes to share what's going on in your life today. When you were talking a little bit earlier today during one of the training sessions, Bob, you talked a little bit about a focus question and how it starts the ball rolling. Tell me a little bit about how that works in your groups.
Well, what we've actually done is we've used the focus questions that come with the bulletin inserts that we got out of the Advanced Leader Kit. And basically, it's just one of the questions out of one of the participant guides.
Yeah.
And it's just to give some focus to kind of the lesson that was on. But what I love about them is they're always really open-ended, and they don't restrict somebody to share specifically about that particular, you know, issue or thing that's going on. Once we read the question, I mean, really, you know from experience, it's a free-for-all.
Yeah.
And people can share about anything they want. But I do find having that question kind of gets the topic moving and gets people thinking about recovery and how their life can be changed.
Yeah, and I like having a focus question as well, just because it gives if a newcomer is there, they maybe they've gone to Newcomers 101 one time, and now it's their first time in an open share. They can share about something topical and not have to worry about, how do I do this right? You know, where do I start with this group? Is this my group where I, you know, get it all out and I start from when I was born and I'm going to talk until, you know, I go up till today is, you know, where is it? If I can focus on, you know, what brought me to recovery, if that's a question, or what's the family secret, or what are you in control of? You know, some of the questions from the participant guides, that can kind of help start the ball rolling.
I think that's a great point. A lot of newcomers, or even reasonably new attenders to Celebrate Recovery, don't know how to share.
Yeah.
I mean, I spent years bottling up my feelings, bottling up my struggles, and to come to a group and just have this expectation, I'm just going to, like, open up and start sharing openly, is pretty unrealistic.
Yeah.
And so having a topic where at least I can think about what would my answer be to that particular topic teaches me how to begin to open up, teaches me how to share. So then when there is a time where maybe there isn't a topic, or, you know, there's a testimony night, we may share about how the testimony impacted us, I can begin to understand how to share my feelings and what's going on.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I kind of sound like a broken record about some of this stuff, but we got to have newcomers 101 whenever possible, you know, because and by that I mean as soon as it's possible to start it. We need to have it every week, but as soon as it's possible for a ministry to start it, I really encourage groups to start. Because we get to break up into circles, and the leader of Newcomers 101 is going to sort of go through, hey, this is how we introduce ourselves here. You know, so when you sit down in a circle, you're going to say, hi, I'm Johnny, and if you're a believer, great, say I'm a believer in Christ, and then say what you struggle with. If you're not a believer, just sit down and say what you struggle with. Just introduce yourself. And then people are going to say, in return, hi, Johnny. When you're done sharing, they're going to clap for you. I mean, all those things help the newcomer feel more welcome and safe there.
Mm-hmm. And not surprised
right.
by something that happens. Like when everybody says, hey, Johnny, at first it's kind of like takes me, you know, it can take you back a little bit, but if you know it's coming,
right,
it won't take you back as far at least.
Now, another angle about this, though, Bob, that's great for the newcomer. But what do you tell the veteran? What do you tell the guy who's, maybe he's a leader, maybe he's not a leader, but he's been coming to Celebrate Recovery for a long time? What's the point in him continuing to go into open share group?
I think, well, let me start with me.
Mm-hmm.
I think the hook for me is that I'm getting better all the time, but I still struggle.
Yeah.
I still do things that I regret. I still do things that I wish I wouldn't, you know, having that argument with my wife. And maybe that little jab that I wish I wouldn't have said,
right,
that I really regret, where I let my anger get the best of me, you know, I still need to talk about that stuff. I still need to be real. I need to be transparent. I need to be, because those secrets are the same secrets that will take me back out into a relapse if I don't.
Yeah.
And open share group is a place where I can do that. I can check in on a weekly basis with what's really going on in my life.
Right.
You know, I may not be struggling with drugs or alcohol anymore. I may not be looking at pornography anymore. But I'm still struggling with life issues.
Right.
And if I don't talk about those things, those will be the very things that lead me into a relapse.
Right. It's the small secrets that lead you back down that
That's
path.
Right.
It doesn't have to be a major area of recovery that you're struggling with. It could be a little thing that you're building up.
Right.
You're starting new.
That's right. And open share, you know, provides that place to be able to do that. So, you know, I've been coming to small groups for, gosh, over 13 years now. And I still go to small groups because I still need to be in a small group.
Right.
Because I still need to talk about what's going on in my life.
Yeah. And it provides a way that it's not so structured into a question. You know, it doesn't have to relate. Once we kind of get past the focus question, and it's really open sharing in the sense that I can talk about my week, I can talk about what's going on today, I can talk about a need that I have. Once that point has been reached, it's almost like I don't have to try to make it relate to anything. I can just tell you guys in the circle with me what's going on,
right,
what I'm struggling with today, hey, maybe a victory I
right.
found today.
That's another side of it.
But that's the thing, for me, the reason I keep going to open share groups is that I love to hear from people who are brand new, you know, who are 30 days, 60 days sober, because
mm-hmm.
it reminds me I don't want to get back there again. And it also gives me the opportunity to think, what can I share that's going to help build them up?
Right.
What victory can I share that's going to make them go, okay, you know what, if he did it and that's how he did it, I can do the same thing.
That's right. Or you maybe know? They'll even come up and ask you, hey, John, how did you do that?
Right, right.
And an opportunity for you to have some one-on-one even.
Yeah, so many of us feel like once we start sharing our victory, it's almost like bragging, or I can't tell them that, or, you know, they won't believe this or whatever. Please share your experience.
Mm-hmm.
Share your victories for certain. I mean, we're called Celebrate Recovery.
Mm-hmm.
You know, part of the thing is we need to begin celebrating our victories with each other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not bad to tell somebody, I don't struggle the same way I used to. Now, I'm always going to identify as a believer who struggles with alcoholism, because the minute I believe I've got this whole thing licked, boy, I'm in huge, huge trouble. Mm-hmm. But it'd be nice to say, hey, you know what? It's been a really long time since I've craved a drink. It's been a really long time since I woke up in the morning going, God, please don't let me drink today.
And so what does that communicate to the newcomer?
That there's victory.
And they actually will get over
right.
that obsession
right.
that they've got right now.
When
there
I
is
first,
hope.
When I first started recovery, well, let me just say, even before that, when I first got dry, because I was dry for a while before I finally gave in and did recovery, I didn't want to do it because my parents are who they are, and I didn't want to do what they did. I wanted to kind of do my own thing. Even when it came to cleaning up, I thought, look, I'll dry out for a while, I'll learn how to get this under control, and I'll move on. I'll be able to drink like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
I found out within my first 30 dry days that was not going to work for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it took me a while to kind of give in and go to meetings and do the things I needed to do. Well, when I can relate that experience to someone, when I can say, there was a time I found myself in the beer aisle at Pavilions salivating and, you know, just daydreaming about the condensation on the when I can start talking about that and go, but you know what I did? I ran. And this is true. I literally ran out of that aisle so that I wouldn't just start pulling taps off and, you know, drinking right there in the middle
right
of the store.
Right there on aisle 12.
Yeah, exactly. But now, when I go, I find myself in the deli aisle and I look over, oh, that's also happens to share a wall with the beer aisle.
Mm-hmm.
I still don't dwell in there. I still don't take a lot of time looking at it. But it doesn't. I don't realize that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something I obsess about, I think about. When I can share that in a group, okay, so you're saying I'm not going to either. At some point, if I keep this up,
right.
I'm gonna get to the point where I can be in a grocery store and I'm not constantly thinking on the right-hand side is where I spend hours picking my drink for the night. I'm not going to think about that anymore. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Because if it can happen for you, Johnny,
exactly.
Maybe it can happen for
exactly.
me too. Because I did a lot of the same things that you did.
Yeah.
That's such a powerful dynamic that takes place in the group that happens in an open share group specifically.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of times we try to move from, you know, just gender-specific to more issue-specific.
Right.
And the more we branch out into those issue-specific groups, the more we can begin to identify with people that are struggling with the same thing that we are.
Right. And that's what it's all about for me. It's all about, as a leader now, it's all about going to a group, not for me. It's that yielding myself to God to be used both by my example and by my words. That's what yielding is. It's going to a group, sometimes going, you know what? Although I've got stuff I'd like to share about, by hearing the last five or six guys share, I need to give a little bit of victory tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I need to put my issues aside for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And let me give these guys something that in my step study or with my accountability partners or with my sponsor, then I'm going to go ahead and be super real and I'm going to share my weaknesses or things that I really need.
Mm-hmm.
But in this 3 minutes, I'm going to put myself aside and I'm going to hope that by sharing my victory, somebody's going to say, okay, I can do this too, you know? So to me, that's what yielding is. It's saying my stuff isn't as important as your stuff, and I'm going to try to help you with my experience.
And one of my first sponsors always taught me that that moment may be the only one I get with that newcomer.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like you and I, we're going to see each other. We see each other on a regular basis. We're going
right.
to be able to connect. We're going to talk on the phone. We're not going to lose that communication.
Right.
But that newcomer that I'm sharing my experience, strength, and hope with, maybe the only shot I have to connect with them.
There's a good chance that it is.
And help them stay
yeah.
in the group.
At least that week.
Right.
You know, and if we don't meet that need, again, it's all about eliminating obstacles, about eliminating excuses. Let's put our stuff behind, and I can call you. You know, even though you're in Vegas, I can call you. We can talk a lot of different times, or I can talk to my sponsor at home. I can do a lot of different things. And I do believe this is where it is important to be serving in both a step study and an open share if it works out for your schedule. Because a step study, that is, I'm going to be with those guys for a year. I can have a week where I go, guys, especially this is why it's so important to have a co-leader. I can let my co-leader be the leader that week. And by participating, I can say, guys, I need your help this week. I need your prayers this week. Would you hold me accountable? Would you call me this week? I'm struggling, and here's how I'm struggling. And I can be real in that sense. I can be vulnerable in that sense, in that setting, because those guys need to know that I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. They need to know that.
Somebody's got to know.
And not only for them, but for me.
Absolutely.
You know, I need to know that I don't have secrets, right, that I'm not holding on to things. And the guys in that group, when they know that I'm struggling, they can hold me up. And they also go, hey, okay, it's not going to stop. You know, I'm never going to be perfect until I'm with Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think that there's a lot to be said for veterans continuing to going to open share groups.
You know, that's something that brings up a kind of a bridging the two, mm-hmm, between sharing struggles and sharing the victories. Something that Carrie, my wife, has always really tried to do in her groups is that if she is sharing something that's been a struggle for her that week, she will share also how recovery and how God, mm-hmm, has helped her through that struggle.
Yeah.
And how she handled it differently as a result. This is how I would have handled it.
Yeah.
But because of God and recovery, I handled it this way today.
Yeah.
And so there's kind of that balance between sharing a current struggle that's going on.
Right.
But then also sharing, but God helped me through it.
Yeah.
And he continues to be faithful to me. And there's something so like real time about that. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm processing my recovery real time with people. And they really seem to connect with that.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, Bob. I sometimes feel that we're embarrassed to share this is how I'm handling it now because I'm afraid to sound too goody-two-shoes.
Right.
I'm afraid that I'm going to come off sounding holier than thou. Or you know what I mean? I'm afraid that that's going to be expressed in a way that I don't want it to. And that I'm saying, share it. So right. Don't worry about that.
That's right.
You know, I mean, I want to encourage anyone, and I'm talking to myself, that you found victory over. It doesn't sound like you're holier than thou or good two shoes. You're saying this stuff works.
Exactly. You're bearing witness,
right,
and testimony to this.
If I keep coming, I'm not going to keep coming to a group where nobody is better than they were when they started it.
What kind of hope is that?
If you've been in a group for a year, or 2 years, 13 years, Bob, and you're not a little bit better off than you were when you started it, if you're not further down the road than I am when I'm a day into it, I'm not coming back to that program.
Exactly.
I want to know that it's going to be worth something, that my life is going to change as a result of it, or at least that I'm going to help figure out some of this behavior, because I don't think all newcomers think in the sense of, okay, I'm going to change my life by coming to this program.
Right.
And I think sometimes a newcomer comes and they think, I'm going to get my spouse off my back.
Right. I want relief.
Right. Yeah, exactly. This is crazy. Let me figure out how to make it less crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's certainly, like I said, for me, when I first started this thing, admitting my alcoholism was a whole different kind of ball game for me. You know, but going to those open share groups and hearing guys share stuff and going, okay, that guy says he's an alcoholic. And that guy does what I do. You know what I mean?
Right.
If that guy's an alcoholic and he does what I do, okay. You know.
What does that mean? It doesn't take long to figure out that equation, does it?
No. Uh-huh. It's so funny. This is a little off topic, but it's funny. I got popped for DUI before I cleaned up, and I went to I had to go to a number of alcohol education classes, which I thought was kind of silly because I knew a lot about alcohol, you know?
Yeah, most of us do.
Yeah. And I remember there was a leader in the group, and the leader said, the day I was able to say I'm an alcoholic was so freeing to me because I knew I never had to take another drink. And I sat across the circle from this guy with my arms folded, and I went, you're an idiot. Because the minute I say that I'm an alcoholic, I can't ever take a drink ever again. You know, there was no freedom in those words for me,
right,
yet. And the reason I bring that up is we've got men, we've got women in our groups who are sitting there not feeling like there's freedom by admitting their powerlessness.
Mm.
They're not feeling like there's freedom in that. They're feeling like we're saying you can't do something that you can't use a coping mechanism that you use. You have to quit something that may be really ingrained in who you are. And if I'm not this, what am I? You know, and so I think that it's important for our veterans to share for those reasons. You know, and keep that available.
That's a great point, because one of the things that I assumed was happening in a ministry that I was leading with,
yeah,
my leaders was that my leaders were sharing,
mm-hmm,
on a regular basis. And they were sharing experience, strength, and hope, and how their current struggle was different. And they were, you know, I assumed that they were doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had one of our team coaches encourager coaches go around and visit, you know, the ladies visit the ladies groups. And
right, which is a great idea, by the way.
Just to kind of see what was going on.
Yeah.
And I found out that a bunch of my leaders weren't sharing at all.
Wow.
They were opening up the book and getting things started, and they weren't sharing at all. And I thought, how in the world are people going to start to connect with the group if the very people that understand it the most aren't sharing their experience, strength, and hope? And so that's when I started doing a training on how to share your experience, strength, and hope in a productive way in the group. And it was just kind of what we're talking about. It was just kind of opening up and sharing your 3 to 5 minute testimony of this is what it was like beforehand, here's how recovery's helped, and here's what it's like today.
That's awesome.
And so when a newcomer shows, or reasonably new person shows, my leaders knew, boom, I do my newcomer share. And it helped them connect. And you know what? People started sticking.
Yeah.
Because they had exactly what you said. They had that hope. They had that connection. They had that, man, I can get better here. I'm going to stay.
Yeah. And that's a big moment. That's a big moment.
That's a big moment.
That connection.
That's right. When you make that turn from kind of the denial coming out of the clouds to, okay, I'm where I need to be.
Yeah. Another thing that I think is important about the open share groups is I'm of the camp that I don't believe everybody is ready to start a step study the first time they come to Celebrate Recovery. I think sometimes it takes a little bit of time for the concepts of recovery to kind of sink in and make sense before they jump into a step study group. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that was actually, I'm a big step guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, and I love to get people through the steps. But I think one of the mistakes I was making was encouraging people too quickly from newcomers group to join a step study group.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that we weren't telling them, you know, that we shouldn't tell them about step studies and what they're for and all that kind of stuff, but we were encouraging them too quickly, and I think what we found is that they would come one time and, like, hear the question, so what's the family secret?
Right.
And they're not even sure if they're supposed to be in recovery yet.
Right.
They haven't even had that moment of, oh, okay, I'm in the right place, and they're in a step study, and they end up bugging out before they ever get in.
Yeah, I think there's some people that they come, and they're saying, they walk in the door, they go, I'm struggling with this issue. I need to stop struggling with it. What do I do? I'm going to do anything I have to do. They're out of denial. They're admitting, I mean, they're doing step one right as you watch them talk to you. They're ready for a step study. Get them involved in meetings, as many meetings as they can get in, because they're looking for a way to change their lives. Then you've got some people who say, you know, my wife tells me I need to be here.
Right.
Or my buddy said I should check this out. Or I think I might have a problem with this. But I'm not sure. Or I don't know if it's as bad as my buddies or as this person's or as that person's. They're still hanging on to some of their power. I'm still in control of this a little bit. I can still stop on my own if I want to, or I'm not even sure I want to stop. When we get to lesson one even of a step study, we start talking about denial. Until you're ready to face your denial, you don't know you're in denial.
Right.
And so I think sometimes we can sort of assimilate people into step studies too quickly, and then they get lost, or they go, this isn't for me, because these guys are sharing about stuff that's nowhere near how bad I am.
Right.
When it is, you know, I mean, because I think a step study is for anybody. It really will help anybody at any stage, but you have to be willing to take a look, especially in those first few lessons, at how your life is going and whether or not you want to change that pattern. And I just don't think everybody's there.
And wouldn't sitting in an open share group for a little bit longer maybe begin to break some of that stuff down?
Yeah, like I said, if I hear somebody share and they say, I'm struggling with this, and they're identifying with a certain issue and they're naming me. I mean, how many times, Bob, we've been doing this for a while, you hear somebody, even in a testimony, and they start saying stuff and you're like, were you living my life?
Exactly.
I mean, you were doing the same things I did.
That's right.
In almost the exact same way. Well, that happens in a smaller way in sharing in groups, you know, same thing. So it starts to help chip away a little bit at that denial, helps chip away a little bit at that sort of powerful feeling that I still may have, or that grasping at power because I don't want to admit that I'm powerless yet, you know. And then once they kind of make, really, I think you got to go at least through step one before you're ready for a step study. You got to say, I admit that I am powerless and that my behavior is out of control.
Mm-hmm.
If you can do that, I think you're ready for a step study.
Right.
Because that's about an attitude of the heart, and that's about being ready to get some serious work done. And I think on the flip side of this, what's so funny as we're talking about this, you're a huge advocate for the step groups and getting people in step studies. I'm a huge advocate for the open share groups. And I think they need to coexist.
Absolutely.
You know, I think this is why it's so important to have step studies on another night of the week, if that's possible for your church, for the way things go, than your large group and your open share. Because, it allows a person more places to go, more meetings per week. And two, it just kind of helps with the process. Just sort of, I can go to open share group and get what the open share gives me, and I can go to a step study and get what the step study gives me. I don't have to choose between the two. Because they do really offer pretty different results or pretty different benefits from group to group. Bob, just give me a little bit about what you think about having the groups on different nights of the week and how they can work together.
Well, I think what you just shared, you know, immediately comes to my mind is, you know, having more than one meeting a week is a huge benefit to having two different nights of the week, because, I mean, I act it out in my addiction every day.
Right.
And so having multiple options for me to go to was a good thing. Two is, it, again, is newcomer friendly, because they can come into an open share group. It's always open. It's always available to them. Where Step City does have a beginning and an end, and can feel a little bit like I'm jumping into something
and started. A place where we close the group.
We do close the group at the four steps, so then it becomes closed to newcomers, per se. The other component is, if I try to do step studies on the same night as my general meeting night, it's either going to take me 2 years to get the step study done, because there's no way I can get through enough questions in an hour.
Right.
Or it's going to restrict the ability for people to connect to that open share group level.
Yeah.
And to connect with a specific issue that they may be struggling with. And so I think there's a lot of benefits to doing it on a separate night. And the churches that I've seen struggle the most seem to get these three, or it's these two groups mixed up.
Yeah.
They try to blend or do some hybrid of open share and step study.
Right.
And they come back to me and say, hey, our group is struggling. What do we need to do? And I'll say, well, tell me about, you know, how do you, when you had your open shares, when your step studies, and inevitably they describe, well, we've got step study on the same night as general meeting night, and it just doesn't.
Yeah,
it just doesn't fly.
Yeah, and I think we maybe should have said this at the front. I think we're assuming that people understand the difference between a step study and an open share. I feel like that's a big question a lot of new groups have. If you don't know the difference between that, and you've got an advanced leadership kit, there's a video in there called The Three Doors of Celebrate Recovery. And that's a really good resource. We took some time and looked at each group in detail. To me, the biggest difference is that in the step study groups, we go through the participant guides. They last 2 hours. In the open share group, it's 1 hour, and it's open and as far as the sharing is concerned.
That's a pretty good nutshell.
Yeah, that's a real quick explanation of those.
Let me take a different spin on this just for a second. Because one of the things that I've discovered after just launching Celebrate Recovery April 6th in Las Vegas, we've been going for a little over 6 months now, we followed the 90-day startup plan that's in the leadership guide.
Yeah.
And we pretty much followed it to the T. And I've talked to groups, and I was kind of in this camp at one time of taking your leaders all the way through a step study before you launch the ministry.
Mm-hmm.
But this experience of following the 90-day startup plan changed that for me.
Okay.
I think that if my leaders, or, you know, potential new leaders, had not experienced large group, open share group with the leader step study group, I don't think I would have retained as many leaders as I've got. I don't think they would have got the vision of what we're trying to do, and they certainly wouldn't have had the chance to work with newcomers on a regular basis. And so I am fully convinced now that doing the general meeting night and getting that launched and then doing a leader step study alongside of that on a different night of the week is absolutely the model that makes it work. And I think our leaders are more on fire now, having just finished our step study, than they ever were or would have been had we not had our large group time and our open share group time.
There's nothing more exciting to me than seeing somebody who's struggling tooth and nail with a hurt habit or hang up start to get it.
Oh,
and start
front
to
row seat.
Very small but measurable victories, you know. Even if it's not, you know, sobriety in a term that we would define sobriety, but somebody who's like, you know, I'm working on it, I'm trying, I'm struggling, I'm putting it together. Now I've got 15 days. Now I've got 30 days. You get around that mark, it's contagious. You want more and more people to experience it. And I think you're right on. I think a leader doing a step study in a closed environment where it's, you know, it's going to be very comfortable by the end of that year, that we're Celebrate Recovery. You know, the 12 of us here are Celebrate Recovery. But when you start to open up the large group and the open share groups and people start coming in and they're banged up and they're hurting, man, that's That's exciting.
It is, and it gives the leaders a reason to be there.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the ministry. You know, that we're like the trauma unit
right.
of the church.
Right.
You know, if the church is the hospital for sinners, we're the trauma
right.
unit.
Right.
And so we're getting people in the door that are pretty banged up. They're
yeah.
hurting pretty bad, but our leaders get a chance early on to start interacting and start bringing people. And you know what? Just like you shared, when we get that front row seat and watching somebody change, just an example real quick. I heard a guy share once, he introduced himself 3 weeks in a row. The first week is I struggle with. Second week, I struggle with. The third week, I'm a believer that struggles with.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he actually said, did you notice that I said I'm a believer?
That's awesome.
I'm in.
That's awesome. I
am in.
That gave me chills just thinking about that right now.
And it was just his introduction. And if it wasn't having that open share group, we wouldn't have experienced that transformation
yeah.
in that guy's life.
And that's where, you know, having Jesus as our higher power and being the center of this ministry, that's what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
What it's all about. So that's exciting. I think we're going to leave it there because that's I can't trump you on that one. I don't have a better story. And if I don't have a better story, I quit.
That's right. Time to wrap it up.
That's right. But to be honest with you, I'm exhausted. And I feel like anything else, I wouldn't feel comfortable.
Right. I'd be rambling on and on and on
right.
and on and on.
Somebody's going to say, please keep your sharing focused in 3 to 5 minutes.
That's right.
But I do want to impress upon everyone the need to have open share groups running as often as possible. Keep that seat open for a newcomer to experience the power of this ministry. And I think that your groups are going to be better off for it.
And make them a priority.
Yeah.
They're a key part of your recovery ministry.
That's right. Train your leaders on how to do them. And we'll probably revisit this at a later date when we've had some sleep and we've, you know, been able to think about things with a clear head for a while. But we want to start this discussion. And we'll be putting more of this stuff on the blogs. If you like what we're saying, please check us out on the team blogs and leave us some comments. And we'll be back next week with more. So thanks for joining us.
Thanks, everybody. See you.